Welcome. I'm going to start the Tax Committee call to order, and we don't have a quorum yet. Representative Moline's going to chair the Tax Committee today, and I did want to comment. Representative Davids contacted me about having this bill go to the Property Tax Division as well, and we're happy to do that. So after we hear the bill, it needs to get referred to Representative Davney's committee to run it through his committee as well. Representative Davids?
Madam Chair, I want to thank you for that consideration. I think that's some property tax implications. We should just look
yes.
at
it. Yes, thank you, and thanks for catching that. We appreciate it. With that, we have Representative Loeffler here, and Representative Moline's going to chair the committee. So welcome.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And while the chairs are exchanging seats, I'll just say that I appreciate the committee's time and attention on an issue that has been before us, before the committee before. And with that, if Madam Chair is ready, I will move that House File 205 be laid over for possible consideration, be re-referred to the Division on Property Taxes and Local Taxes.
Thank you, Representative Loeffler. Moves House File 205. And Representative Loeffler, do you also have an amendment?
Yes, Madam Chair, I'd like to move the H205A1 amendment to get the bill into its final into better format. What this does is it addresses a couple of concerns that have come from to us from people who actually do the processing of the paperwork, and they would like to have some cross references and statutes just to remind them as they go through what things they have to pay attention to. And it also clarifies that the effective date will be July 1st, 2013, which will allow for adequate lead time for people to implement this. And we'll continue to work with those who have to implement the law to make sure it works. And we'll have opportunities to do any further refinement in the division.
Thank you, Representative Loeffler. Representative Loeffler moves her A1 amendment to get her bill in the format that she would approve all members who support adopting the A1 amendment, signify by saying aye.
Madam Chair.
I'm sorry.
I actually had a question on the amendment before I voted on it. Could
okay.
I ask that?
And
could we
Representative
back Madison. A little bit? Thank you. Representative Loeffler, I wanted to ask you, now I don't have the statute language in front of me, so the 383A.80, what is the mortgage registry's tax going to be then? What's the rate? What percentage are we talking about of a tax increase here?
Madam Chair and Representative Anderson, what the underlying bill does is it reinstates the tax that we have had in the past, and it's 0.0001% of the debt value, which is the value that, the amount that it has been historically, and so those underlying statutes are still in place. This just reinstates the tax that we've had in the past in both Ramsey and Hennepin County. The amendment doesn't address that. The amendment just simply does the right cross references and clarifies the effective date.
Great, thank you.
Great.
Are there any other questions to the amendment? Okay, we don't yet have a quorum, Representative Loeffler, so why don't you just continue on with presenting your bill?
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. This bill is a combined effort of Ramsey County and Hennepin County to reinstate a tax that they have had an addition that was imposed by the local counties with the permission of state law since 1997 to create a locally generated source of revenues for the cleanup of contaminated properties that otherwise would not be marketable or developable. Both of our communities are very, very old. Much of Minnesota was still agricultural and lumbering. We were the start of the Industrial Revolution. And unfortunately, back in the old days, people didn't always know what to do with the chemical waste that they generated in manufacturing. And we continue to, unfortunately, have issues with that into even more modern times. And as a result, what this does is adds about $30 to the closing costs of the buying of a $150,000 home. and it goes into an environmental response fund that the counties administer in order to both identify and address and pay for cleanup of very polluted properties. And we have witnesses here who will give you very specific examples of the types of projects that have been funded with this locally generated tax and the benefits that it has had. And so I don't want to take away their thunder by spending too much time on it. I'll be glad to answer more questions as we go, but we have a number of witnesses who I think can talk to you about how it has worked within their communities and how successful they feel it has been. It did sunset. It was considered last year in the tax committee, but didn't make it into the final bill. And so this would just reinstate the authority of these counties to locally raise these monies for environmental response. And with that, I'd like to welcome County Commissioner Janice Rettman from Ramsey County as my first witness.
Thank you, Representative Loeffler. And before we continue, we do have a quorum present now, so I'd like to move or vote on the A1 amendment. All those in favor of adopting the author's A1 amendment signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed? The amendment is adopted. Members, we do have a number of testifiers here today, so if there are any questions right now that are just specific to the author before we move on to testifiers, I think that would be appropriate now. Otherwise, we'll move forward. Oh, Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I have a question just for staff, and before we get to the testifiers, because my memory is we did pass something for Dakota County and maybe some other counties in the past, and it was vetoed. It would I don't know if the author knows that or if staff have I'd just like a little background on this before.
Mr. Michael.
Madam Chair, Representative Hansen, your memory is correct. I'm not sure which year it was. I think it may have been in the 2009 bill. Maybe Chair Lencheski remembers, but there were a number of counties that came in and requested parallel authority to the Hennepin and Ramsey authority. And at that time, Hennepin and Ramsey were proposing to extend their expiration date to prevent it from expiring. My recollection is that Dakota, Anoka, and St. Louis counties all passed the legislature but were in a bill vetoed by the governor. And so that never happened. And as a result of that, because action was not taken in the last legislative biennium, the Hennepin and Ramsey County taxes have now expired.
Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any other questions at this time? Representative Anderson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Loeffler, can you tell me what is the current balance of the IRF fund right now?
Thank you, Madam Chair. And Senator Anderson, I think it varies by county, and we'll have county witnesses who can address that. Even though the revenues have ceased being collected because of the sunset going into effect, there has been some carryover from previous, and I think much of it is committed to projects, but they could better address that than I can.
Thank you. And Madam Chair?
Representative Anderson?
I'm Representative Loeffler. Tell me, maybe I missed this in your opening comments. In the language that we have before us here today, there is no expiration at all on this, and typically there has been some sunset on this. Are you planning to have a sunset? Or
Representative Loeffler?
Thank you, Madam Chair. And Representative Anderson, we intentionally left that blank. We have talked about 10 years. We've talked about 5 years. Both have been used in the past and felt that when the division puts together its report, it will, you know, be in alignment with other bills that they do this with. I mean, obviously, our county boards would love to have it not have a sunset, but I think that we have been willing and have in the past and would continue in the future to have a periodic review of how the program's going. It gives us a chance to demonstrate the effectiveness of the program. But if the committee were interested in not having a sunset, we would do it, but it remains in the bill.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Thank you. And now we're going to go to testimony. Could the first witness state your name for the record and then proceed?
Madam Chair, representatives. My name is Janice Rettman. I'm the Ramsey County Commissioner serving District 3. On December the 31st, 2012, at midnight, in the silent darkness of the Capitol, The Ramsey County Environmental Response Fund sunsetted without fanfare. But the Ramsey County Board, the Housing Redevelopment Staff, and the legislative staff were working to prepare legislation to be first out of the box in asking you, the legislature, and the governor to remove the sunset and let the sun shine again on a program that has received praise by doing exactly what the legislature envisioned. In fact, I have the honor of being in office for 27 years, 16 on the county board, and since this program has gone into effect, there's not been one complaint heard by me. Just the opposite. It's praise. But we need your help to make it happen, to continue to happen. We really do. The legislature created this modest, small financing tool to assist Ramsey County and Hennepin County to reclaim languishing little pockets of blighted, often bankrupt, abandoned, and sometimes tax-forfeited lands back into productive, paying, tax-paying meccas of good living wage jobs and good housing. These hot-off-the-press brochures handed out by the staff will give you the details. In fact, Madam Chair, I'm just going to go out of sequence and I'm just going to answer the question. If you look how many dollars are on the first page, how many dollars are collected, that's how many's gone out the door, and we plan on having those all committed. Not one dime is left in the bank. We planned on using every dime of it. So it's committed and out the door. Okay? But anyway, back to my hot off the press. This will give you the details of our success in leveraging other, both private and public dollars for both the cleanup of the lands that are in Ramsey County neighborhoods and the building of places of good jobs and good housing where once there was a blighted shell of a now abandoned past. Bottom line, by being last in with the IRF and being frugal and strategic, the Ramsey County IRF fund has become a job creator, a job retainer, a tax-based generator, a neighborhood revitalizer, and a positive investment of this little fund generated by the financing and refinancing of property purchases. The reality is I know that you always have a lot on your agenda, and we will stand ready for any time, day or night, to answer questions, Denise and Mary Lou and I. Final thoughts. This legislature first envisioned this vision, and it's something that you all, as legislators and governor, can be humbly prideful of. And by you removing the sunset and moving quickly, the work we started can be rebooted. We have not finished our task that you gave us. With it, without you, it's mission impossible. With you, as Dolly Parton would sing, I can see the light of a clear blue morning. I can see the light of a brand new day. With your help, we stand ready to have mission accomplished. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Commissioner Rettman. We have a question from Representative Anderson, and then Representative Blush.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Commissioner Rettman, I just have a couple of questions.
Yes, ma'am.
And I think maybe I'll start with Mr. Michael, if you could. Now, help me, remind me again, the Ramsey County and Hennepin County already collect a 3% mortgage and deed tax that is done by the state, correct? And is that still in place, or where are we at on that?
Madam Chair, Representative Anderson, yes, there is a state mortgage registry tax and a state deed tax, both of which are collected for the state by the counties that apply statewide. And so, yes, whenever you record a mortgage, you will pay that tax similarly if you transfer a deed.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Michael. And Commissioner Rettman, do you know how much of that 3% mortgage and deed tax that Ramsey County receives? How much do you have in revenue from that? Can you tell me?
Of revenue from the
3% mortgage and deed tax collected by the state on your behalf?
If you, again, I hate to say it, but if you turn to the brochure, on a house, it would be the state portion is the $397, I believe, dollars. And you will see there's another line here that says $33. That's what we get.
Okay, Madam Chair.
Representative Anderson.
Commissioner Rettman, can you tell me overall how much revenue you have as a county? So, I mean, this is per home on the average, but can you tell me overall how much?
In terms of the IRF dollars or in terms of the 397?
In terms of the 3% mortgage tax that the state collects on your behalf and gives to Ramsey County.
Commissioner Rettman?
Madam Chair, may I? Representative, we don't get to keep that which we collect for the state. We only get to keep a little bit of administration dollars. The only part we get to keep is that 0.0001%. That's it. And that's the dollars that we have. I apologize if I'm not answering the way you need the answer given. And the staff will be available to you.
Okay. Thank you, Commissioner Rettman. Madam Chair, Mr. Michael, can you help clear this up a little bit and where that, who gets the revenue and how that works out?
Mr. Michael.
Madam Chair, Representative Anderson, the state mortgage registry and the state deed tax generate 97% of the collections from those taxes, which are administered at the local level by the county, but 97% of the revenue goes to the state budget. So when you look in the, you know, the budget forecast, you will see lines for each of those taxes. The county is allowed to retain 3% of the revenues from both as compensation, sort of roughly, for the fact that they're the collector of those taxes.
Mm-hmm.
The taxes in this bill are obviously a local revenue source that goes into their fund that they then spend.
Great. Thank you, Madam Chair. And Commissioner Rettman, maybe we can talk offline because I'd like to know how much that revenue is of the 3%. And same for Hennepin County when they come up, if they can have that information and maybe email it to me later on.
So
I think that would
collected.
Be helpful.
Commissioner Rettman.
Okay.
Yes, ma'am. Commissioner, yeah, it's the separate from the IRF fund. This is the 3% that the state, so it's different. But we can talk offline on that a little bit later. And that's it for now.
Sorry.
Thank you.
Thank you. Representative Lesh.
thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Anderson brought up a good point about the state mortgage registration tax. So this, I guess, is us taxing ourselves in Ramsey County in order to pay for cleanup that companies didn't do themselves when they moved out to exurbs or other parts of the state. But we still tax our own homeowners instead of putting it on the state, where those companies still are, in order to clean up our own land that should have been cleaned up by the people who are there. So why can't we get some of this money from the state tax? Why do we have to tax ourselves? Why can't all of Minnesota participate in cleaning up these sites that all of Minnesota benefits from?
Commissioner Rettman?
May I respond? Madam Chair, Representative Lesh, I think the author said it very, very well. Ramsey County is the tiniest county in the state of Minnesota. We're a fully built county. The thing of it is that the land that is available, we have at least 2,000 acres that we know of that have been identified that we need to be putting back into production. As I stated in my comments, part of the land has been abandoned. Part of it has gone bankrupt. Part of it has literally no one to go after. I'm of the opinion you go after who brought it to the table. If they were available, we will go after. But the reality is, otherwise these languish in the neighborhoods. Very similar to it becomes a blight. I know that you know the neighborhood of Max and Steel Dale Street Shops. At the corner of Dale and Minnehaha is one side, you know, used to be a variety of things, and it's heavily polluted. In fact, some of the pollution still stands there today. But it's capped appropriately in concert with the pollution control district, et cetera, to make sure that it does not migrate either into the aquifers or into groundwater and or into the rest of the land. The rest of it is now back into production. It laid vacant for years, and it's got good paying jobs from like restoration professionals, et cetera. They're there now, employing people and generating not only jobs, but they're also generating payments of the income tax as well as other taxes throughout the area. Without that, we wouldn't have that job base. On the other side of the railroad tracks was the Max and Steel shops, okay? For 100 years, it was there, okay? It went away. I've got the hook from the Max and Steel site in my office, and it's taller than I am almost. But the thing of it is the land was polluted, and then it went tax forfeited. And it was in the original legislation identified as you can look out the Capitol window and see it. And it was horrible. And now it's got everything from Warner Stellion, where they have the warehouse sales, to custom drywall, which has expanded three different times because it had an opportunity not only to keep the jobs in St. Paul and Ramsey County, but it had the ability to expand its workforce and reach out into the neighborhoods and hire additional people to do jobs. That's what it means to a built county, is otherwise it would be sitting there being actually a little wart or a little cancer that continues to grow. You go over and talk to Aesop's Table right across the street. When this opened back up, all of a sudden they're booming in business. Schroeder's, you know, used to be, redid their place because they had people coming over. Even the Como Animal Hospital is open 24 hours now because it has vitality. And yes, you know, you can say, hey, why not go through the state? We couldn't wait. And this legislature, not this particular one, but the legislatures passed this to give us the tools to help ourselves. And you look at the success we've had on raising private dollars and returning tax dollars for every $1 in IRF funding, it generates $68 in increased market value. For every $1 of earth funding generated, $145 of new development. That's what we needed to do.
Thank you. Madam Commissioner Chair. Rettman.
And thank you for that thorough response, Commissioner Rettman. I still, when I drive home, drive by that little parcel on Front, and I can't remember what cross street is. I think it's still the most polluted parcel in the state of Minnesota. At least I think you told me that before. But I appreciate the responsibility that Ramsey County feels in taking care of this ourselves. I think it's the right thing to do. Last year and previous years, we had a company come through this committee that bought an asbestos concern and wanting to avoid liability for that. And I kind of wonder where the responsibility for that falls when companies like that do successfully avoid liability, and the answer, members, is right here on the taxpayers. But I think this is the responsible way to go about it, so thank you for bringing the bill.
Thank you, Representative Lesh. And members, we do have several people here to testify on this bill. And so, Representative Garofalo, you're next on the list. If your question is specific for Commissioner Rettman or Ramsey Coney, otherwise, if you could hold it until we proceed with other testifiers.
Thank you, Madam Chair. My question is to Representative Loeffler, so I can wait.
Okay. Thank you, Representative Garofalo. And if the next testifier could come forward. Thanks, Commissioner Rettman.
Thank you. Great. We have Jean Maxwell, who's the commissioner or the mayor of the city of Hopkins.
Thank you, Mayor Maxwell. And if you could state your name for the record and then proceed with your testimony.
Eugene Maxwell, Mayor, City of Hopkins. Thank you very much for this opportunity just to talk to you today about what I think is really an important part for the City of Hopkins. The City of Hopkins is a western suburb, 120 years old, 4.5 square miles. With that 4.5 square miles, we have to do a lot of redevelopment. I have four examples of some of the redevelopment we have done so far with the dollars that we received. First one is maybe the Hopkins Honda site. We received $105,000 that turned into a $10 million project that generates 175 jobs in the customer count. I think it's close to 70,000 people that are coming to the Hopkins all the time to service their cars, but then some of the spin-off business through that. Excelsior Crossing with Cargill moved in. We received $128,000 that turned into a $165 million project that employs 3,500 workers. That's a huge asset to the City of Hopkins. Another one is Marketplace in Maine, $121,000 that turned into a $15 million project on the Main Street of Hopkins that has some retail below with some apartments above. That's another way to keep the activity in the City of Hopkins really going well. And the new one that we're going to do is a Gallery Flats, another abandoned park necklace site that was $96,000 that's going to turn into a $25 million project for the city. So all these sites you can look at that with Hopkins Honda was a Knox Lumber Company that was gone out of business, which was a large site that needed the dollars. Excelsior Crossing was an abandoned Redall warehouse that needed the dollars to really generate. Main Street Marketplace of Maine was an abandoned, basically a car lot that we needed to redo downtown. So the dollars are really important for a small city like ours that really is into redevelopment, and hopefully we think we're redeveloping smartly. We have a lot of things that we're really positive about the City of Hopkins. So thank you very much for listening to me.
Thank you. And are there questions from members for Mayor Maxwell? Seeing none.
Well, I got it off this easy. Thank you.
Thank you, Mayor. And there was a developer from my area who was able to come, but for those of you who have heard the bill before, you may have noticed some of the pictures, remember some of the pictures he brought in of abandoned, vacant industrial buildings that are routinely broken to by homeless people and other people who just want a fun place to play. And they are really a hazard to our community to have those sitting there, and yet no one's going to step up to redo them, not knowing what the industrial past of those has been. By moving these projects ahead with using local dollars, we actually reduce the cost to the environment in terms of the pollution. You can lose the plume as as chemicals are leaching into the soil, into the groundwater. The faster you do it, the actually less expensive it is and the less environmental degradation. And so I think it's important for us to remember that some of these are really small little projects and some of these are really big ones with major impacts on the aquifer under our cities. Chris Barnes is here as a project partner with Dominium.
Mr. Barnes, please state your name for the record and then proceed.
I'm Chris Barnes, a project partner at Dominium. Thank you for taking the time to hear me today, Madam Chair and Representatives. We are a private affordable housing developer based in Minnesota, and we have worked with this program on four projects. Just wanted to emphasize the importance of these last dollars that come into a project that really can make the difference between a project being feasible and creating jobs and laying vacant. Don't have a lot of prepared comments, but just wanted to make an appeal that this funding be available for these types of projects because it is critical and often makes the difference between having something that will proceed forward and want something that won't. So I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Are there questions from members for Mr. Barnes? Seeing none, thank you.
And Commissioner Peter McLaughlin from Hennepin County has now joined us.
Commissioner, please state your name for the record and proceed.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair. I'm Peter McLaughlin. I'm Hennepin County Commissioner and co-chair of our Intergovernmental Committee. I do have a slide presentation somewhere, I thought. Not here? Okay, maybe that's not here. All right. All right, then I'll proceed without it. Madam Chair, we are very supportive of this effort. In the time in which we have operated within Hennepin County, since the legislature established this in 1997, we have provided 288 grants, totaling $41 million. And the initial project that was pointed out was the National Lead Site in St. Louis Park. It was a former Superfund site. I've been to that site. I've been to a number of these sites, and I got to tell you, sometimes you feel like you're in the one of the settings from Mad Max. To be honest, some of these sites they're out of this world, and no bank's going to loan money to somebody who wants to build on them. And what we're trying to do essentially is to get these pieces of property back into productive use. We have. As you know, the funding extensions, it was first authorized in 97, we got an extension in 2003, we got an extension in 2008, and the last extension that went through 2012 expired. And so we're seeking a further extension of our ability to collect this 0.0001% of the value of the mortgage and the deed at the time of these transactions. And I would point out that's about on a $150,000 house, that's about $15 on the mortgage side, $15 on the deed side. If you're doing a refi, you'd only pay the $15. So on a $300,000 mortgage, it would be about a $60 one-time payment. We think that that's a good investment for our community. We, number one, with the money that we have invested, there's been let me remind you again, $41 million in grants that we have given to clean up sites. There's been $1.7 billion in privately funded development on those sites within Hennepin County. That expands our tax base. Everybody in the county benefits from that expanded tax base. We think not only from the direct benefits of the expanded tax base, but there are indirect benefits. If you live across the street from some of these sites, your property is devalued. It's devalued because a lot of them look terrible. There's not going to be investment there. They're kind of lost properties. And so there is an effort to try to not only provide direct investment benefit on those properties and taxes from those direct properties, but it also helps the properties that are adjacent to it. We think that this is an important element in what we're doing. There has been a $437 million increase in the property values from where we started before we made the investments to what they're valued at now, $437 million, which is 11 times what we've invested in those properties. They're generating $64 million in additional property taxes annually. And what we're trying to, one of the things that these funds do that some of the other funds don't do is it allows us to make investments that get the properties up to redevelopment standards. Some of the funds that are available for environmental cleanup only get the properties up to the point where they're safe for just standing there, sitting there, doing nothing, not generating any additional taxes. We try to bring the properties up to the point where a bank would be willing to grant a loan, where an investor could actually pick this site and have it be competitive with other sites around the county. So that we're trying essentially to correct the sins of the past, allow these properties to come back into productive use. So we think that's important. That's why we stepped forward. That's why we asked for this revenue. Back to the question that was asked by Representative Anderson about the state mortgage registry and deed. Back in 1997, I was actually on the county board at the time, And we actually wanted to get some of that 3%. And we were not able to do that at the time. Believe it or not, there was a state budget crisis, I think, at the time. And so there was not a willingness to divert money that was otherwise going into the general fund back to Hennepin County or Ramsey County where it was being generated. So we settled at that time for this 0.0001 of the value, that amount of the value, on mortgage and the deed as a way to capitalize these efforts to bring these properties back into productive use. We thought that was a reasonable compromise at the time. We think that the property taxpayers in Hennepin County have benefited from it. And we think that our communities have benefited from it. That's why we're supportive of an extension of this so that we can move forward and continue to make these investments. So in summary, Madam Chair, on the properties that we have invested in, there are 9,500 jobs created or retained, 3,500 affordable housing units and 6,500 market rate units created or renovated on these sites within our county. We think it's, Representative Loeffler indicated, these are important to create a safe environment in which we can live, our people can live and work and invest. Let me just give you one last example of the Edgewood Business Center in St. Louis Park. It's on one of the slides I was going to have available. It had a variety of old industrial uses, the old practice, throw the stuff out the back door. You know how that worked. That's the way it used to be. We're trying to correct that. It had been sitting vacant for more than 5 years. Developers didn't want to redevelop the site. This is in St. Louis Park because of the contamination. During the vacancy period, the property was subject to 45 police calls, including a number that were associated with a meth lab that was operating there. Now, the property was very close to an elementary school and a regional trail, and today it contains 79,000 square feet of office and warehouse space. So that's the kind of property we're talking about here. That's why we think this fund is important. There are 4,300 sites of concern, that's the category, for environmental pollution within Hennepin County, 4,300. So there's more work to be done. We think we've done a good job with the authority you've given us. This modest tax has produced incredible dividends for the taxpayers and for our communities, and we'd like to have it extended again so we can continue with the good work that we've been doing. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Commissioner McLaughlin. And we have a question from Representative Lewin.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you for your testimony, Commissioner, and thank you, Representative Loeffler. You know, I think this tax and this program has done some good things, and I know you all are very supportive of it. But in looking at this, I'm just wondering, since this program's been around for a while and we've come to have the sunset and it's been reauthorized and that, has there been any look either at the county or maybe the cities involved as well with cleanups at creating a revolving fund from the tax dollars that are coming in because properties that are either off the tax rolls because they haven't been developed can be used so we can kind of stop continuing the collection from homeowners, but we've got those additional tax monies to come in to do this purpose? Because in looking at your proposal or your PowerPoint here, $41 million have been awarded in projects since 2001. And about $64 million more in property taxes generated. And I was just wondering, couldn't there be some way to create or capture that money to create a revolving fund so we wouldn't have to continually be taxing homeowners when they buy a piece of property?
Commissioner McLaughlin, go ahead.
Madam Chair, the taxes that are collected now go into the general fund of the school district, the city in which it's located, the county. And so we're providing property tax relief. If we were to capture that, and there's been a long history in this committee, and I'll look to the chair, of discussions of value capture and tax increment financing, and we think that this is a more appropriate way to capitalize this activity rather than going through the TIF process, which is essentially what you're talking about, or a TIF-like process. So we think this is more appropriate. It's a one-time tax at the time of a transaction when a house is being being sold or refinanced. And so it seems like a reasonable point at which to capture a small amount of revenue, $30 on a $150,000 house, to actually help bolster the property values across the county. And that's really what it's done.
Representative Loon.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Well, thank you, Commissioner. I appreciate your perspective on it. I'm just trying to offer up a suggestion because I think, again, you know, certain communities are more impacted by some of these sites than others. And I think, you know, there just may be a more innovative way of looking at doing this. Certainly, we all want to see these non-productive properties that can be brought onto the tax rolls be serving a good purpose, whether it's jobs or housing or whatever it is that the site is redeveloped for. But I think if some of that value could be captured to go back into this fund, you know, that might be a good way to look at it. So,
Madam Chair, we're trying to grow the tax base in Hennepin County. And no matter what community it's in within Hennepin County, the tax base growth is shared across all 47 communities within Hennepin County.
Thank you. Question from Representative Anderson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Commissioner McLaughlin here. I have a couple of questions. For Hennepin County, what is the total amount of money in the IRF fund currently?
The current balance is about just a little over $2 million, $2 to $2.5 million.
Okay. Madam Chair.
Representative Anderson.
2.6, I'm sorry, Madam Chair.
2.6 million in the IRF fund. Okay. And Commissioner McLaughlin, do you know, out of the money that is generated, where does the bulk of that money come from by community? So you said there's 47 cities that contribute, you know, 47 cities where homeowners contribute into this fund. Where is the bulk of that revenue coming from? Is it, can you, I would actually really like this broken down by city. I'd like to know each city, how much revenue from the homes that are sold in that city or refinanced in that city, how much revenue is generated by each city.
I don't have that at my disposal. We can try to track that down.
Okay, that, Madam Chair, Commissioner McLaughlin, that would be really helpful because when I look at the data, if you're looking just from fiscal year 2001 to 2011, what you see is that over 50% of the IRF funds have gone to the city of Minneapolis. And there are over 19, actually there are 19 cities within that same time period that received $0. So that means that those 19 communities pay into the fund but have seen absolutely no benefit within their own community for cleanup. So I think it would be really helpful for me if you could give me that breakdown. I understand you probably don't have that here today, but it would be helpful for me to know within that 10-year time frame what the cities have contributed into the fund. And if you could email that to me, that would be really helpful.
So Madam Chair,
Commissioner McLaughlin,
we invest the money where the dirt's dirty. Okay? We invest the money where the dirt is dirty, and the dirt tends to be dirty where there was industrial activity in the 19th century and the most of the 20th century. I mean, that's where the dirt is dirty. All of the communities in Hennepin County benefit from the increase in property tax revenues that are generated off of these properties. Yes, they don't have a building or a site that's cleaned up. Some of the communities don't, but all of the communities in Hennepin County, because the money goes into the property tax base of Hennepin County, and it reduces property taxes for the other properties, because these properties are now actually back into productive use, and they wouldn't be. A bank is not going to loan money to somebody to build on a polluted site unless that pollution is cleaned up. And so that's what we're doing here. And so everybody in Hennepin County, every property owner, benefits from the property value increase and the property tax increase that comes off of these properties.
We do have at least seven other people that want to be heard on this bill, but sure. Representative Anderson.
Thanks, Madam Chair, and thank you, Commissioner McLaughlin. I appreciate your comments on that. I know that the state also provides funding through the Superfund as well, and, you know, it's great to hear your comments on that, but certainly I'd like to have those details, because I'm guessing when you're looking at the data that my community, for example, or, you know, some of the more western communities in Hennepin County are probably paying a large portion of the share. And, you know, I don't know if the city of Minneapolis has looked at, you know, creating their own fund to help out their businesses in their community or their properties. So, but that's maybe a conversation for a later day. But thank you. I appreciate your comments.
Thank you. And we have a question from Representative Barrett, and then we're going to go on to the next testifier.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Commissioner, I'm looking at a slide here that shows a lot of contaminated sites, and it compares the contaminated sites with the sites that have actually been cleaned up. So it seems like there's a lot of sites here that we need to move on. And I'm wondering if any general fund money from Hennepin County goes into improving or eradicating these sites currently.
Commissioner?
Madam Chair, we do not expend general fund monies directly for pollution cleanup. We have tried to use this fund to do that, though there have, in some instances, there are developments where other county funds go into for other purposes, but we're not using general fund monies for this purpose.
And just a follow-up question, Madam Chair, Commissioner.
Representative Barrett.
I thought I heard earlier that the return on investment for this type of spending is 30, 40 to 1, 50 to 1?
11 to 1.
11 to 1 in your situation. I thought I heard a larger number there earlier. But I guess my question is more just a practical one, regardless of where the money comes from. If the money invested here makes such a large return, why wouldn't we be using a large amount of general fund money now to do the same thing that this very tiny amount of money actually contributes currently?
Madam Chair, there are a lot of demands on our general fund. If you want to talk about Hennepin County Medical Center and all the people without insurance coverage that we are providing care for, we're investing in property tax on the order of $25 million a year for that purpose. There are plenty of demands on our general fund and property tax. We believe that this is a reasonable source of revenue to try to increase property values throughout the county, and therefore help. And it's, we think it's an appropriate pairing of revenue with the purpose. And so, the pressures on, we've been trying to keep our property tax under control. I think we've done a pretty good job. You can take a look at our records on that. But that has been a priority for us, to keep property taxes under control. And so, that's. There are lots of demands, whether it's child protection or the jail or the sheriff's department. There are a lot of things that we do, and I'd be happy to show you the pie chart of all the things that we do with our property tax dollar.
Just a final thought, Madam Chair. I won't belabor the point, but I think if the return is so large, I guess if I were part of the county, I would advocate strongly for using general fund money so that we can get that large return, get people employed, get businesses up and thriving.
Well, Matt, the other thing we do,
statement, not a question.
We try to wait for a development to be there and ripe, and so we're trying to match that our investment in a timely way with an actual development that's going to happen.
Thank you, and we do have another question for you from Representative Pepin.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and Commissioner McLaughlin. I'm just wondering, is Hennepin County currently collecting the mortgage registry tax and the deed tax?
Madam Chair, Representative Pepin, no. We ceased to collect it on the 31st of December of last year. And so we had that balance that we have, that $2.6 million. We've been, on average, giving out grants of $2 to $2.5 million a year. So we can give grants out this year, and then we're going to be out of business.
Representative Pepin.
Thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair and Commissioner McLaughlin. So the people who purchased homes so far this year have not had to pay this tax then?
Madam Chair, if they bought a $300,000 house, they didn't pay the $60,000.
Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner. And could the next testifier please come forward?
Great. We have Brent Rogers, who's the president of BRECO.
Thank you, Mr. Rogers. If you could state your name for the record and then proceed.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, my name is actually Arnie Gregory. Brent Rogers works for me, and I am the president of GRECO, so I guess I have found by testifying in front of you, I probably lost my job. But please don't let it affect my credibility. Greco is a real estate development company that is based in Minneapolis, and primarily we do urban redevelopment. We don't do much greenfield development at all. We've developed more than 2,200 units of rental and for sale housing in the greater Minneapolis marketplace. A great majority of these, as I said, are urban infill locations in Minneapolis. We currently have three new mixed-use projects that are either under construction or recently completed in Minneapolis and St. Louis Park that might not have moved forward without being awarded ERF funds. The ERF grant funding is instrumental in assisting the redevelopment because of the brownstone nature of urban infill sites. The ERF grants help to pay for investigation, cleanup costs associated with redeveloping blighted sites and buildings that have sat vacant or underutilized for many years. In many cases, there are no other sources of money to help defray these costs, and there would be a major funding gap if these funds went away. These funds are used to remove contaminated soils on new construction projects, to safely remove and dispose of lead-based paint and asbestos in existing structures so that they can be repositioned, in our case, into new housing. The Petro Fund and Superfund money does not aid in these types of redevelopment costs. These funds are of paramount importance in aiding the urban renewal and redevelopment process. As more and more people are interested in moving back to the city, more redevelopment is necessary. This ERF grant money is instrumental in helping us get that process started. ERF directly benefits the general public by increasing the tax base and creating new jobs. For example, in our three current redevelopment projects, we have been able to leverage $562,000 of ERF funds with private investment to create over $100 million of new taxable market value. According to our general contractor, these projects have created more than 300 construction jobs, and when they are fully completed, they will maintain 100 full-time permanent positions. The cost associated with ERF, in our mind, seems to be nominal compared to the overall benefit that these completed projects provide in their respective neighborhoods. The economic impact of the redevelopment can surely be felt by the surrounding community. The ERF grant helps create vibrant neighborhoods and remove blight in addition to increasing the tax base and creating jobs. We would hope you support extending the ERF grant. Thank you.
Thank you. And are there questions from members? No. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. We're just going to quickly wrap up with a couple of brief stories as well, and then we're going to get to hearing from other voices. And that we do have Paul Korber from Barr Engineering, who's been involved in the follow-up to what people may remember as the Surly Bill, and that Representative Loon carried. And he will tell you how this fund has actually contributed to being able to locate that.
Thank you, Mr. Korber. If you could state your name for the record and then proceed.
I'm actually Dan Fetter with Barr Engineering, and I work for Surly Brewing on their potential development on the border of Minneapolis and St. Paul. Thank you, Madam Chair and representatives, for a chance to talk about a specific project passing through this system. For many years of my career, I've worked with local communities to study and clean up brownfield projects, many of them in Minneapolis and St. Paul. Today I wanted to talk about a specific project on the border of Minneapolis and St. Paul on Malcolm Avenue and Fifth Street. I have some photos that could be passed around. Okay. This particular site is over 100 years of pollution and industrial activity. It sits near the main rail lines between the two cities and originally was a swamp more than 100 years ago. The thinking at that time was that they could reclaim the swamp, fill it in, and someday industrial development would come. The common practice at that time was to fill swamps with whatever material was cheaply available. Ash, debris, and by modern standards, contaminated soil was placed in this swamp. More than 50 years ago, their vision was realized in that industrial development did occur on these properties. So there was many decades of heavy industrial use. Again, the common practice at that time was to land dispose or dump your waste sludges and drums. In fact, some of these properties that make up this site were a Superfund site in Minnesota. More recently, about 20 years ago, a period of enforcement occurred where the state regulatory authorities worked very hard with folks to study and clean up the site. Millions of dollars was spent, and a lot of the contamination was addressed. Drums were removed, contamination was removed, and a clean cover was established over this area, suitable at that time for the continued industrial use for that specific land use. The problem today now, as the world turns and new developers looking at this site, is there's a lot of residual contamination on sites such as this, and they face significant cleanup challenges. This particular site's facing nearly $2 to $3 million of cleanup to redevelop into the proposed Surly Brewery. So Hennepin County ERF has been instrumental. They've signaled awards first for the study and now for the cleanup, just under $500,000. And I can tell you that without these grant funds, this development, although it wants to be here, would probably have to go to a simpler site where the headwinds weren't so strong. They'd go to a greenfield site somewhere.
Thank you. And are there questions from members? Seeing none, thank you. Could the next testifier please come forward?
Thank you, Madam Chair. And Lori Lauder will wrap up our testimony for the bill.
Thank you. Could you please state your name for the record and proceed?
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. Good afternoon. My name is Lori Lauder. I'm the Director of Business and Intergovernmental Affairs at the St. Paul Port Authority. I'll try to keep my comments blessedly brief here. We work in the trenches. We redevelop brownfields, and we work with customers that want to grow, expand by developing new facilities on the formerly brownfield sites, and do the all-important thing of creating jobs. The St. Paul Port Authority's mission, just to introduce you a little bit to us, is creating quality job opportunities, expanding the tax base, and advancing sustainable development. Madam Chair, we have a fairly successful track record over the past several decades in brownfields development. Those numerics include 21 business centers on over 1,200 acres in St. Paul, and they contain over 525 businesses, and the count to date is a little over 17,000 jobs created. We have a lot more work to do. As was mentioned, there are a lot of brownfield sites throughout the state and certainly in the metro area. It's all about having clean and ready to develop dirt, and several previous speakers have mentioned that. When customers are looking to expand in St. Paul and elsewhere, it's usually in a 3 to 6 month period of time they want to identify the dirt on which they can expand. And if it's sitting there dirty, it's a no-go. And so, of course, what we do and our economic development partners do is we clean up defective and dirty brownfield sites where the private sector really cannot do it. They cannot pencil out an ROI, a return on investment. So we step in and do that. And the cobbling process of bringing grant funds to the table is vitally important. And so the IRF funds are part of that vitally important set of funds that really are sunk cost funds. They have to be sunk into making the dirty dirt marketable, clean, and developable so that we can get the outcomes that we all desire in terms of business and jobs growth. Madam Chair, I will finish with a couple of quick examples. One I would call a business retention and jobs growth effort, and this is a company called Total Tool Supply Company over in the west part of St. Paul, the westerly part towards Minneapolis. They needed expansion space. Their contractors found that there was some pollution on the part on which they wished to expand. This was breaking out the side of their building. They wanted to stay. It was so daunting to them. They were looking seriously, by the time we understood that they had a problem, they were looking seriously at leaving the state. And so we worked with them, and we achieved about $40,000 from the IRF fund. And today I'm happy to say that this company is still operating in St. Paul. They have 47 jobs, and because of this project, they were able to add 22 additional jobs. It enhanced the property value, of course, and therefore the tax base. And, you know, it's even a wonderful side thing, maybe not such a side thing. They're a very happy customer. They love being in Minnesota, and we hear nothing about moving out of state anymore. So that's kind of on the small end of things. The last example I will give is Great Northern Business Center. This is at Minnehaha and Dale in the Frogtown and North End neighborhoods. The U.S. EPA visited about 12 years ago, took a tour. This was a site that was dusty. And by the way, most of our business centers are across the street from residential properties. And in this case, there were several residents of the Frogtown neighborhood who had severe asthma. And as the trucks went in and out on this vacant site and all the dust flew, I used to get a lot of phone calls saying, could you please do something, because this is just horrible. So when the EPA came to town, the head of the EPA Brownfields program out of D.C., Linda Garzinski, said, this is outrageous. There should be no low-income neighborhoods or anybody living in homes near industrial properties that should live through this. And she called it an environmental justice issue. So we were able to cobble together funds. In this case, and every case is different, as you know, we were able to achieve $1 million from the IRF fund. And that was not only to clean the contamination, but Frogtown, as you know, has some soupy land. And so we had to put geopiers in as well so that our customers could have sites that would be stable once they built their new facilities. Madam Chair, I'd like to cite, just to end here, what happened with that site. This is about a 14-acre site. The private sector, these four business customers of ours, ended up spending almost $12 million, $11.8 million on their real estate facilities. In addition to that, $400,000 in new equipment, and they generated, where there were zero jobs before, 293 jobs, and we do track this every year. And the neighborhood said thanks very much, and the businesses did too. Madam Chair, that ends my comments, and I appreciate all of your time. Thank you.
Thank you, and we do have a question from Representative Dabney.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, Ms. Lauder. Listening to you, I was reminded of former Representative McFarland, from the East Metro, who was a small business person and talked about how much the state is willing to invest in attracting new businesses to the state, but what a poor job we do on supporting incumbent businesses that want to stay, want to expand. And your story has illustrated the Port Authority's assistance with exactly that problem. But other testifiers have spoken to the environmental benefits of the IRF funds, and you and others have spoken to the job creation benefits. I'm wondering if you can speak from the Port Authority's experience on the savings to taxpayers of redeveloping on brownfields and utilizing, I assume there's benefits in terms of utilizing the incumbent infrastructure. You know, you don't have to build new roads, you don't have to build new sewers, those things are already there and paid for. Can you speak to savings for taxpayers in using of IRF funds, please?
Sure, Madam Chair and Representative, I'd be happy to. In some cases, quite frankly, we need to put in new infrastructure. It's kind of a case-by-case basis. We are working very diligently, for example, along the Phelan Corridor on the east side of St. Paul, and we just developed a new road system on the northern side, which actually is a site that we were also funded with from IRF, or funded for from IRF, because that was the site of two foundries that were they're now out of business, having been out of business for a long time, and they created tremendous pollution on about a 12-acre site. So sometimes we need infrastructure. The savings, Representative, to get to your point, are substantial. These are sites that do not generate much taxes at all, as you can imagine from some of these stories. And so with the additional annual increase in property taxes, that helps all taxpayers. The other thing that we've found is that there are so-called economic spin-off effects of these business centers. And that means that as we go into a neighborhood, for example, in any community, where there's maybe some distressed housing and so forth, when these new shiny business centers offering jobs for area people and so forth come in, we find that there is an increase in the kind of investment in the surrounding properties. This particularly happened at the Como Front Dale area with a very well-heeled hardware store that had been in the area for a long time, and he had gone through some hard times, and when we put in this Great Northern Quarter development, his business increased over 25%. So there are a lot of spin-off effects, and I don't want to take too much more time, Madam Chair, but we do have some estimates on the Beacon Bluff project on the east side as far as state effects. So maybe I'd end with this because it's an excellent question, Representative Davney, that you bring up. Over in the Beacon Bluff area along the Phelan Corridor, we have several existing business centers. We're working hard on the newest one that is about 60 acres in size. It's now home to Health East's expansion, where they provided over a $4 million EMT training center and ambulance center, as well as Baldinger Bakery, a 116-year-old company, third-generation company, and they now are in place. Once all of that area is developed, and I will say that the generation of these estimates comes from state deed staff through the REMI economic model, we anticipate, and our hurdle is we back into it by looking at the developable sites, and we drive towards a 35% coverage of building to land, and so that drives the outcomes. We estimate, and deed estimates as well, if we hit our hurdle of 1,000 permanent jobs in this particular area along Phelan Corridor, there will be a one-time construction spending boost to the state of Minnesota, not St. Paul, but to the state, to the state's economy of about $92 million. Further, once that hurdle is made and is met and everything is out there running day after day, year after year, every single year beyond that full build-out, it is estimated that the state's gross product, Minnesota's gross product, will be increased every year by $131 million as an estimate. So these are some other facts I thought you might appreciate in terms of your point, Representative.
Thank you,
ma'am. Thank you, Madam Chair. And
thank you.
Thank you for being generous with these enthusiastic testifiers.
We do have another question from Representative Drazkowski.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And Ms. Lauder, good to see you again. Thank you for being here in front of the committee today. I was intrigued. You know, you're in a position which you work with a lot of companies and look at their project budgets. And as you know, we have one of the things we lead the nation in Minnesota here is our business taxes are very high. And we're if there's one thing we can claim we do, we tax our businesses heavy. And so as you look at those project budgets with those businesses, I would expect that taxes are take a bite out of their ability for them to fund these projects on their own, as I think many of us would normally expect would happen. They'd be able to cash flow these projects on their own. So given those realities, I'm wondering the governor's come out with a proposal to increase more taxes on our job creators to make it even more difficult. Do you suspect that's going to, even if this bill passes and is adopted, would you find then that maybe there'll still be a shortfall in their ability to come through and make those project budgets flow?
Madam Chair and Representative Drazkowski, we have not studied that, nor do we have any opinion on that, but I can clarify perhaps something that would be helpful for the committee, Madam Chair, and that is these dollars that we're talking about, IRF dollars and other similar dollars from state deed and so forth, go into curing the defect of the land. It's dirty dirt. It's dirt that needs to be changed and rejiggered so that it is developable. After that, then, our business customers look at what they can afford to build, typically new construction in the industrial sector, their facilities. And sometimes they get bank financing. Sometimes the Port Authority can assist with a federal program that's been around for 50 years, the industrial revenue bonds and so forth. So really there's a distinction. First, we must cure the dirt.
Representative Drazkowski.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So, Ms. Lauder, do you, I mean, normally these businesses, at least where I come from, they will clean up the site, and I did see the photos, and I rode in the car with you one day, and appreciate that. We were talking about soil remediation and why we're spending all this money on petroleum and not land spreading it and letting the bacteria do the work instead of all the tax money we're using. But where I come from, the businesses will normally foot the bill to get rid of the concrete and clean up anything that needs to be cleaned up in the soil, and apparently that's not really how that's working here. And I did see the kind of tentative project budgets where you've got the different elements of government actually several times, actually many of those government paying for a portion of that development, whether it's cleaning up or and infrastructure and other pieces. But what I'm wondering is, if these businesses that prospectively will be developing there have additional burdens placed on them, will that make your situation to reclaim those areas and actually have development happen, will that make it more difficult for you if they have less ability to pay for projects on their own?
Madam Chair and Representative Drazkowski, one of the things that we look at is whether the business is credit worthy. And once we have cured the soil and it's developable, then the company is looking at new construction costs. A bit of an economic thing on the land, if I might. Industrial land in St. Paul is worth somewhere in general $4 to $6 a square foot. Typically, in terms of putting in sunk costs, it costs $12 to $18 a square foot. Businesses cannot afford that. What they look at affording is a combination of debt and equity to build their new facilities. And typically, industrial facilities, really nice facades, well-designed, up to the curb, plenty of parking and so forth, goes between $80 and $100 a square foot construction cost. So they're really looking on that cost factor, and of course there are a lot of inputs in looking at affording that on the debt and equity side of both sides of that ledger.
Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. And I would like to move on to opposition testimony. If there's anyone else here from the public that would like to testify in support of the bill, please come forward now. Otherwise, if you're here in opposition of the bill, please come forward and state your name for the record.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair, members of the committee. My name is Nancy Landmark, and I am here today on behalf of the Minnesota Land Title Association. First off, we would like to commend Representative Loeffler and the members of this committee who are giving this bill such careful consideration, because we recognize the value of the cleanup efforts that have been made over the past several years, and we are very supportive of that direction on behalf of the state as a whole, and in particular these two counties. That being said, as the representative of those groups that do closings in this state and collect these taxes from the purchasers or mortgagors so that we can remit them to the county when we record our documents, we do have a couple of concerns that we would like consideration to be made of, one of which was the effective date. And Representative Loeffler, I believe your amendment does address the primary aspect of that concern. The secondary aspect, however, comes out of our experience in 2008 when the sunset expired and then was extended. What we found is Hennepin and Ramsey County approached interpreting the effective date of this bill differently, so we would seek clarity on that issue, specifically as to whether the implementation is as to transactions that occur on or after the effective date, that is, the deed is dated on or after that date, or the mortgage is dated on or after that date, or the documents are submitted for recording. The primary reason for this is if we close a transaction on Friday, the 31st, we generally do not get to record those documents until at least Monday, the 3rd. That can present a problem if the bill takes effect and one county interprets it as we should have collected the extra 10 cents of deed tax or mortgage registry tax, and the buyer or seller objects to that additional fund being collected prior to the effective date. So we would seek clarity on that issue. The second thing is that I would like all members of this committee to take to heart is that this start-stop process of collecting this is very difficult. we need time to make sure all of our members know to collect the right amount when they are dealing with transactions in Hennepin and Ramsey County. We've done this for a lot of years. We can certainly do it, but when it sunsets and then comes back on, the transition time gets a little difficult for all of us. Madam Chairman, thank you for the opportunity to speak.
Thank you. And are there questions from members? Seeing none, thank you. Is there anyone else here to testify on the bill? Please come forward. Please state your name for the record and then proceed.
Thank you, Madam Chair. My name is Paul Legger. I'm Vice President of Governmental Affairs for the Minnesota Association of Realtors. We're a trade association, and our 17,000 realtors are working with buyers and sellers throughout the state of Minnesota. You've had a long discussion, Madam Chair, and I'll be very brief. And in fact, a lot of the points that I was going to make were made by some of the supporters of the legislation. And I just want to highlight our concern isn't with the activities and the outcomes that have been discussed here today by the counties. They do a great job of articulating what the gains have been in terms of cleaning up the land and in particular growing the tax base and generating additional property tax collections. And a couple of the testifiers used words that actually I was going to use in my testimony, which is this benefits everyone in the counties. Now, the reason that I'm here testifying in opposition isn't because of the activities being delivered. It's the funding source, and that's why it's here before the House Tax Committee. The funding source is the mortgage registry and the deed taxes. You heard a little bit. I think all the members here understand that all buyers and sellers throughout the state are paying mortgage registry and deed taxes in transactions. Representative Loeffler described that this particular county authority would result in an additional $30. That's on top of about $800 that you're paying for the state mortgage registry and deed taxes. So this is a cost in the transaction that is not insignificant. And so as you're discussing this bill and determining how to proceed, I just ask you to think about the fairness aspect of asking just the buyers and sellers of real property to foot the cost for programs and activities that as many of the testifiers before me did a great job of describing, benefit all the residents and the businesses in those communities. And why isn't it a more broadly based funding source? And there were some great questions, Representative Barrett, Representative Loon, Representative Anderson, that asked those questions of the counties in terms of the ability to provide some general fund support or to somehow recycle the property tax gains that have been made by returning these properties back to more productive use. So with that, Madam Chair, thank you for the opportunity to testify.
Thank you. And are there questions from members for Mr. Enger? Seeing none, thank you.
Thank you.
And are there questions from members for the author, Representative Loeffler? Seeing none. Oh, Representative Anderson.
Madam Chair, I think you skipped over Representative Garofalo. I'll wait till he goes first.
You're correct. Thank you, Representative Garofalo. Thank you for being so patient.
Well, thank you for reminding me how unmemorable I am. So, Madam Chair and Representative Loeffler, as everyone knows, Governor Dayton recently, I should just talk about maybe the outcomes from this program first. I don't think anyone disputes the value of this program in terms of the money being spent. That seems like it provides a pretty strong return on investment. We're redeveloping existing properties. We're able to leverage existing infrastructure. I mean, so I understand why the county would be opposed to using general fund sources. They got to make priorities within that, but it sounds like Governor Dayton may have taken care of this problem for you. As everyone knows, he's proposed a $6 billion sales tax increase over the next 4 years. While he's lowering the rate statewide, Hennepin County's sales tax is not being lowered. Both Minneapolis and St. Paul have sales taxes that are not being lowered. You're going to be generating a colossal amount of sales tax revenue. Why don't you just take some of that revenue and use it as opposed to adding a second tax increase?
Madam Chair and Representative Garofalo, I think there's all kinds of creative financing things that we could debate. I'm not sure, actually, that the authorization for those sales taxes don't provide for adjustment during the when if the base changes, but I need to look into that. I'm bringing this forward because this is, as you've heard, for 15 years has worked really effectively, and our county commissioners have not heard any complaints about this as a revenue source. And so our communities in Hennepin County have stepped up and been comfortable with it, and I'm comfortable using this as the continuing revenue source to keep this going.
Madam Chair.
Representative Garofalo.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Loeffler, did Governor Dayton include this in his budget recommendations?
Representative Loeffler.
Madam Chair and Representative Garofalo, this is a local tax, so it would not be something you would address in addressing a state budget. I could certainly inquire of their support. I suspect that they would be supportive, given what I understand of their value system and their commitment to environmental remediation. But this is not a state budget item. It is authorizing a local tax.
Representative Garofalo.
Thank you. Madam Chair, Representative Loeffler, certainly within the governor's overall budget priorities, he also outlined policy changes he'd be making. So if this was a high priority for the administration, I would have expected to have seen a change document, at least within the tax portion of the governor's recommendations. It is a local property tax or deed and mortgage tax increase, but it's certainly something that the governor would be allowed to offer in terms of his changes. But I'll come back to my original question, and that is that, again, we've got, I mean, the governor put a lot of money on the table with the sales tax increase, with the multi-billion dollar income tax increase. It just seems, frankly, a little bit abusive to the taxpayer that at this time, with all these billions of dollars in tax increases being proposed, why you got to come back and take another bite at the apple? Again, the sales tax revenue alone is being expanded by millions of dollars already in Minneapolis and St. Paul and in Hennepin County. Would you be opposed to using those sales tax revenues instead of lopping this one on top of all the other tax increases?
Representative Loeffler.
Madam Chair and Representative Garofalo, there are all kinds of ideas circulating from the governor and I'm sure we're going to hear a variety of interesting ones from members around this committee. And we as a committee are going to weigh and evaluate those. This proposal, I think, can stand in its own right, and I'm honored to present it and glad to explore with the rest of the committee all the other creative ideas for revenue raising for the state of Minnesota.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And Representative Loeffler, thank you for answering my questions. I appreciate that. But most importantly, thank you for reminding me and the taxpayers in Minnesota that elections matter and they do make a difference. And I look forward to seeing how this legislative session plays out. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Garofalo. Representative Lencheski.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And Representative Loeffler, I just want to thank you for bringing this forward and all your testifiers who are here. And just to, you know, think a little bit about this, and as the whole committee thinks a little bit about this, you know, this really is a subset of the state gets stuck with this big problem. And so, you know, you're bringing this local taxes, and Representative Marquardt and I used to look at these and really struggle with them because you're hearing it bipartisanly. Most everyone supports, you know, this is a great program, and then people question, you know, is this the way to do it? And I think the Minnesota Realtors Association testimony highlights the concern that many of us have, which is, should it be just the people who happen to be in the buyer and seller market who sort of pay for this? Okay, so I think most people kind of go, geez, that doesn't really seem fair. And we've had these debates here bipartisanly. But no one really can find a different way to do this. So I will recall that Representative Lanning actually had a bill to propose this mortgage and deed across the whole state, right, the exact same way, and dedicate it to housing, affordable housing. So it's very bipartisan in folks looking at this resource, and very bipartisan in people liking it and not liking it. And I think, you know, we've watched different folks kind of debate this issue back and forth. So, you know, I will admit to you that I've struggled with this. When Representative Marquardt was a property tax chair, he struggled with this because there is that kind of, it's great, so who should pay, and you know, why is it a subset of the population? Why isn't, you know, a broader something? So I think we found over time, you know, historically it's there and we've gotten used to it, and so I'm generally supportive, but I want you to know that I hope as we go forward that you, and I know you're a very open-minded, disciplined legislator, will work to hear both sides. And if we can find an alternative, you know, I think that would be great. I just, no one ever seems to be able to figure that out. And so we all kind of renew it again. And then, you know, there's this whole other issue, and Hennepin and Ramsey really do have the biggest amount of sites, is the surrounding counties that Representative Hansen raised earlier. You know, they all have concerns too. And at one time we passed, Representative Marquardt, is it 5 or 6 or 7 counties in the metro through the tax conference committee, and that was vetoed. But, you know, these are, and I think honestly the way I remember is that Representative, or Governor Plenty said, I'll take Hennepin and Ramsey, but not the rest. So, you know, I do think we're all just going to have to get our heads around this and compromise as a group, and so I hate to have it sort of feel like one side loves this and one doesn't, because I don't think that's an accurate presentation of what's going on here. But I think, you know, short of different alternatives, it's probably something, you know, at the end of the day we'll be looking to support. But I really hope, Representative Loeffler, that you can think with the folks who have, I think, legitimate concerns.
Madam Chair and Representative Lencheski, I think all of us, when we look at dreams for moving forward and progress in our local communities, look first to, wouldn't it be nice to get general fund money and we wouldn't have to raise money locally, and it would just be the whole state contributing to the improvement of the whole state. And but we know how difficult it is in this committee and on the floor to pass a general fund budget that can step up to all kinds of new responsibilities. I personally think there's some elegance to the property owners having some skin in the game on this. And, yeah, it's about a point in time. But if you own property, you actually do benefit by growing the tax base in, you know, in that county in which it's you've chosen to locate your business property or your home. And so you do get the benefit, the entire metro benefits when it's commercial industrial property because of the tax-based sharing of fiscal disparities. And so there is actually some connection to even if I buy a house in an area that is blessedly not near any industrial past, that I still have my taxes influenced by the tax-based growth that this generates. And so there is some elegance to that that I can rationalize in my own mind. But it's probably not my favorite revenue source, but, you know, the fact that it has existed for 15 years and the county commissioners who are responsible for explaining it to anyone who buys the property, what that line is and what does it go for, say they haven't gotten complaints, to me is worthy of consideration as well. And I'm always open to looking to new revenue sources, but I do think this is one that's proven to be effective, and it has gotten properties cleaned up much faster than if they just sat for decades and decades on the Superfund list of the state.
Thank you. Are there other questions from members? Representative Anderson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Loeffler, I would encourage you, I think what Representative Loon highlighted in the fact of capturing the, as the testifiers said, that there's a growth in property tax revenue after these sites are turned over, and capturing that revenue to fund future cleanups, I think that that would probably be a better way to do this in a more fair fashion too. But I also just had one question. I know that you said many of these sites are from cleanups from when we first got into the whole manufacturing side of things and growing as a community. Are any of these sites sites that experienced their dirt getting dirty from 1997 on? So are we cleaning up sites that were clean prior to 1997 but now are dirty? Are there any of those sites like that out there?
Representative Loeffler.
Madam Chair and Representative Anderson, I couldn't address that. As you could see from the map of Hennepin County, I think they said there was something like 43,000 sites or something. I suspect almost all of it is old. Does that mean that, you know, there couldn't have been some new chemical process in some new lab somewhere since 97? I have no idea, but I think that they, if that business were still in operation, they'd be responsible for it under our pollution laws. This is really dealing more with pollution from entities that have long gone out of business, and, you know, there just isn't a responsible party to step up.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Thank you. I'm not seeing, Representative Garofalo.
I assume our business is done, Madam Chair. I just have a quick announcement.
Representative Garofalo, not quite. Can you?
Sure. When you're done, just let me know.
Okay. Pursuant to Representative David's request, I'm going to refer House File 205 to the Property and Local Tax Division. And then also, if I could get a motion to approve our minutes from our last meeting.
So moved.
All those in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Minutes are adopted. And Representative Garofalo.
Thank you, Madam Chair. For members of the committee and for the audience who's interested, I just want to let everyone know that Monday, February 18th, my daughter Abby will be on site delivering Girl Scout cookies on behalf of the Girl Scouts. We have a sign-up sheet up on my desk. If you're interested, you can email me as well. But she'll be on site to personally deliver it to you. So if you're interested, let me know.
Thank you, Representative Garofalo. And the meeting is adjourned.